Let's start today's message time with some illustrations, or an illustration. I want to get your mind thinking. You know, Jesus used parables, and some of you might remember what I'm about to tell you. As far as the illustration, you may not remember even through the rest of the message, but maybe you will. But it helps us get in the mindset to help us to understand things. You remember, Nathan told an illustration to David because David was stuck in his sin, and he might not have been able to see what he could see until Nathan shared the illustration with him that had to do with a shepherd and a sheep. We're not going to go into that passage today, but it reminds us of Jesus even told parables and helps us understand. And in some of our teachings we've had on relationships, we've learned that when we share some illustrations, it helps people to understand how we're feeling. So the illustration today is to both help us understand and maybe evoke a feeling that you can relate to. And I hesitate to share part of this illustration because it's not lunchtime yet. Let me just remind you of that, but it's about a restaurant. It's a little bit. But you know, when you ever go to a restaurant and you've looked at those menus and it seems like there's 100 items. And to some people that's like, great, I got lots of choices. And to other people's like, horrified, I've got to pick from 100. Which one do I pick? And if you don't understand the language or the cuisine itself, you have no idea what is going on. You know, some restaurants you go to and you just don't know the difference between the dishes. And how do you pick? It becomes overwhelming. If only they had stars on the menu so that you knew how everybody else felt about each dish. Isn't that how you do it on the internet? How many stars? You look for an influencer. But which influencer should you listen to? You know, if you look at those stars and you try to make decisions based on the stars, have you ever read some of those comments? They hadn't even used the product yet. They're giving it 5 stars based on, oh, that package looks really cool. Or whatever they're doing, or there's only 10 people that's given a comment. I wonder if they're all related. I don't know. But how do you decide and you pick the right person? Now, if you're in a restaurant, what do you do? What do you do? One of my sons, like when we go to the restaurant and siblings would recognize, they'll say, so. And so what do you recommend? And they'll ask the waiter, what do they recommend? But if you ask the other server, what would they recommend? What if they come up with 2 different answers? What do you do then? And how do you know when you, have you ever Googled for what's the top whatever device out there? And when you bring it up, it seems like, and you start to wonder, does this person actually work for them? Because when you do the top 10 again, and you look at someone else's, it's like the exact opposite. Who's paying them to do these reviews? You start to wonder if they're not independent. So how in the world do we make decisions? I mean, do we make decisions based off what everybody else is doing and what everybody else thinks is important? I mean, who is credible anyhow? I remember before Patty and I got married, there was a lady that I worked with. I don't know how old she was. I think she was less than 30. I don't know. She'd been married 2 or 3 times. She was giving me marriage advice. You know? So I'm not sure that she was credible. Maybe she learned. But where do you get your insights and your guidance and your direction? Now, if you like to go down the crowdsource point and you realize, hey, if everybody's doing it, isn't that kind of funny? Everybody's doing it. You look out there and the more stars and the more purchases, and it just reminds me of that old saying, you know, Bobby got new shoes and Bobby did this and Bobby, somebody down the street did it. They tell their mom and the mom says, if they jumped off a cliff, will you jump too? But that's kind of what we're doing today, is we're making our decisions based off what everybody else is doing. But it is interesting, if you look at things, if you think about it, If you want to go to a restaurant, they say go to where the truck drivers go. Now, I wouldn't go everywhere some truck drivers would go, but for the restaurants, you go where the truck drivers go, and it might be an older restaurant, and it could be true of any other restaurant. A restaurant that's been around for a while and still have a lot of people go to it, time and experience says that's probably a pretty good restaurant. You might go to a brand new restaurant and there's lots of people, but then you go a little bit of time and there's not that many people. And so you kind of wonder about this crowdsourcing. So you got to find some place that's credible and some place that's reliable. At time and experience says they know what they're talking about. You know, people that have been married 5 years might have a lot of insight and advice that they put out there on the internet. But people that have been married 20, 30, 40 years might want to at least listen to them. Because you know, when you go on to the reviews and the people that are the loudest, it's the people that leave the comments, but not everybody leaves comments. Some people might not want to leave one and say, I would never buy this because it doesn't work very well. But time and experience. Time and experience. Now, if that's the way you lean, time and experience, what is the number one book purchased throughout history? I happen to have one. It's been translated and versions stuff. This is the number one book throughout history. Time and experience throughout history. Why don't we see what it has to say? How do you make decisions? You know, because you got to think about, if we use scripture, what does the Bible say? What is our first influencer? Our first one. I'm going to take you familiar passages of scripture for some. Maybe not for others. If you've been in this church very long, you probably heard me preach on this a few times on this area. But it begs repeating, because maybe you're in a life decision mode. We always have decisions to make, don't we? But sometimes they come in bunches depending on where we are in our life cycle. It's Romans 12, 1 and 2. Some of you might even be able to preach some of the sermon. Maybe not. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's read that for you. We'll be reading from the New King James Version as we do. I want you to think about who should be your first influencer. What if you have multiple influencers? Which one do you go with? How do you decide? Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what do we do first here? It says that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. If you are looking for a relationship with someone of the opposite sex, or maybe you're in a relationship with someone of the opposite sex, you have to think about how each person is trying to make their decisions. And if you're in an organization of people, where do they base their decisions on? If you're working on a production line, or if you're working in a factory, or you're on the job installing something, or whatever you might be doing, who's the number one influencer? The person that can fire you, or the person that can give you a raise? Probably the same person. But your buddy down the road says, oh, they don't care. Do what you want. Don't work so hard. You make me look bad. You probably don't want to listen to that person, because they aren't going to get you a raise. They're looking out for them. And They can't. They may not fire you, but they might be able to get you fired. So who's your number one influencer? It should be God. And in your relationships, it should be God. And if you're looking for someone for a relationship, you find somebody whose focus is God. I know of someone. They met someone on a Christian dating site. And this was like over 20 years ago. And she put on her Christian dating site, her profile, I believe it was, "If you can't imagine loving God more than you love me, then you're not the right guy for me." If you're looking for someone, you want them to be God first, that God is the premier decider. Because you know what? If God's the premier decider in both your lives, it works a lot better. Have you ever been in a band or listened to a band where everybody's following the conductor for the timing and the drummer thinks that he owns the beat? Which means the conductor is conducting, the director's directing everybody to a time, and the drummer decides he's going to do it to his own beat. Or the percussion think that they own it. And what do they call that? Polling. They call that polling. They're polling against each other. In an organization, if they have multiple missions, they're going to strife and pull against each other. If they don't have a single mission on figuring out how they work together, they don't have any policies, they don't have any rules, it's a pull. It's always stressing. In a relationship, it's the same way. And not only just in romantic relationships. If you're looking at the world and you have different primary influencers, you might come up with a different conclusion. But imagine if you look at the world through the same mindset. But first you have to establish your key influencer. And who does God say that should be? Well, it's Him. It's Him. Now, we haven't gotten down the path of how to make the decision. But first, we have to decide who is our chief influencer. You might watch a YouTube video on how to fix a car or fix a cable or fix a something. But you got to pick who you're going to watch. Now, who is your key influencer going to be? It says, first, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, to God. God's our chief influencer. Step one. Got to get that part out of the way. Because when you go to the step two and step three, if you haven't done step one, step two, and step three is not going to work very well. You can't mix and mesh the things together very well. I can't be listening to the percussion and following the director if they're not on the same beat. So that's first. Who's your chief influencer? What's the second word in here, device in here? We present our bodies to God. Great. Verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. Okay. Now we got a problem. Because I'm not supposed to crowdsource my answers. I'm not supposed to do what everybody else does. That's not supposed to be my prime influencer. And be not conformed to this world. So that means, you know how they do those stars, by the way? They count how many, everybody gives stars, right? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, however it works. And then they say, what percent give a 5-star? What percent give a 4-star, a 3-star, 2-star? And then they rank them that way. But you don't know the people that gave the 5-star. For all you know, they're a bunch of 8 to 10-year-olds. I know they can't be on the internet like that, but you get the idea. Maybe they're mentally 8 to 10 years old, emotionally 8 to 10 years old. And they're making their choices. And of course, nowadays, you don't know if some of them could be bots out there just plugging away. You know, that's why some of your things pop up on your searches. Advertisement and bots. And I'm not going to tell you what a bot is. But it says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't follow the crowd. Don't follow the crowd. Step one, remember, was who's your key influencer? Second, don't follow the crowd. Then it says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's three. Chief influencer, don't follow the crowd, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, how do you get a renewed mind? It's not something you go to the store and buy. It's allowing God, the Holy Spirit, to start forming and adjusting and changing your mind. How do you look at things? What is your worldview? How do you approach the problems? You ever heard someone says you're looking at it wrong? Sometimes if we could look at it correctly, the answer would come out. But when we look at it wrong, we miss it. In my line of work, sometimes I've looked at problems and sometimes they'd be analytical, and I mentally will take it and I'll turn it and look at it from a different view. And things become visible because I can see it from a different view. Some of you work on cars, you might work on a vehicle, you're working on a problem. Sometimes you need to look from a different angle and you can see the problem. But we got to look at it from God's view. Now, we're not going to look at it through God's view. At first, we haven't agreed that He's our number one influencer. And we've released the concept, or accepted the premise, I should say, that we're not following the crowd. Because if I'm going to follow the crowd starts becoming my number one influencer. I need to have my mind renewed. And remember, we're kind of like that car that's out of alignment. The old saying where we're bent to sinning. Our minds are messed up. Think about how people look at things today. We've talked about some of this before. The way they look at things is all messed up. Their minds debased. God wants to do a work on the way we approach our problems. We want to take on the mind of Christ. But we got to let the mechanic come in and do an overhaul. And He works through that. He might work through what they would call means of grace. Things that remind us of God through our Bible reading and our understanding and allowing the Holy Spirit to work on us through our prayer. Coming to church where we keep each other accountable. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And then comes the end of verse 2, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When it says that you may prove, it really means to test and approve. To test and approve is to discern, to know what God's will is. There might be some people in your life that you probably know what they're going to say. You know them well enough in a situation, you know what the answer is going to be. You know how they're going to respond, you know what they're going to say. We want to have that kind of relationship with God that the Holy Spirit has imprinted Himself on us to the degree that we look at our decisions and we look at our conduct more and more like Christ. The Bible has so affected us, our walk with God has so affected us, that it becomes a natural outflow of how we make decisions. Some decisions, they become easier because the first influencer is, does it go against the Bible? Okay, I can check off a whole bunch of stuff. I can just check off a whole lot of things. But as I go through that and I try to discern Scripture and get a little bit deeper, if I presented myself to God, He's my number one influencer, I'm not going to be overrun by the world. That's not it. Not conformed to the world. God's first. And allow God to rebuild and reshape how I think and how I approach things. I've given and trusted Him as my spiritual mechanic to work on me. Then I start looking at the world in the way God would work at the world. And thinking about that. And see if the people around me are thinking that way and how they interact and how they treat each other. I don't care if it's a football team or what, they're going to work better together, aren't they? A church that is focused on God, working better together. A couple that's focused on God work better together. Because they're all listening to the same drumbeat. They're following the same conductor. And though none go with them, still they're going to follow God. And it changes. But be able to test and approve what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The gap. Good, acceptable, perfect will of God. It's going to be a gap with the world. The world's not even going to understand it. But Christ followers will. Not maybe the young Christ followers, but the ones that are where you're at or farther. So what have we learned? Our chief influencer should be Christ. Don't crowdsource your decision, especially the eternal ones. And by giving our life to God, we need to be transformed. We need to be part of that transformation and bringing in the Word of God and being in church and being part of ministry. Yes, and even tithing. Relying on God for our financial well-being. Our choices of jobs, where we pick car. Certainly who relationships are with, our friends are, where we work. We trust Him with everything. And you'll find that as you walk with God, it becomes easier to quickly know, well, this is what God didn't want me to do that. Because I can hear the Holy Spirit. Because I'm not fighting it's not a fight between me and God. Because sometimes it's not just you fighting the other person. Sometimes you're trying to listen to yourself and God, and you're looking out for yourself. And you're not even smart enough to do that. Because you can't see the future. You don't have the experience of God. Our best choice is make Him first. Don't worry about the rest. Allow Him to change you. Then you can discern what God's will is in your life. So, may God be your greatest influencer. Let's be standing together. Father God, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. And over time and experience, You have made a difference in lives. May we put You first. Allow You to be our greatest influencer. Help us to drown out the noise of those outside. Help us to drown out the desire to look good to other people. Help us to rest in You, to trust in You, even in the ways that maybe our mind can't leap there. It might not make logical sense to us, but Lord, trusting in You does make logical sense. And allowing You to work through us to maybe do something that we can't do on our own. only through you. May we allow you to come in and reshape us. Help us to have the mind of Christ and shape how we think, how we approach. And may we take those advantage of all those opportunities that you give us. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.